Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God. Tonight's the night that we just give God the glory. We praise Him, we adore Him, and we magnify His name. Once again, I say 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears shall attend unto their prayers made at this place. Tonight's the night that we're teaching from the Bible, and there's a young lady that we thank God for, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell her who she is, what she got on her, what God has given her to do. Donna, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Tell the people who you are, what you got on y'all to do tonight.
My name is Sister Diana, and I pray that the word I have tonight be a word that would change someone's life for the better and give them a better understanding of how God works and moves in our lives. I want to open up for a prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given me to share tonight to not just to the brokenhearted, but even to the hearts, Lord God, that need to hear that you speak, God, and that you sit on the throne, and that every purpose and plan that you have for us, our purpose and plans that would come into fruition in our life when we just simply trust in you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, as we open up our heart to receive your engrafted word, they will fall and follow ground, Lord God, and that it will produce 130, 60 to the 100-fold in our life. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I set myself aside and allow the Holy Spirit to move and reign in me and through me. I give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. But tonight, I would like to open up with a testimony, a story that very few people know about. It's a real story of a couple who was given the task of giving birth to such a wonderful miracle. And as you all know, we are all miracles.
Amen.
Born of God. Every one of us that breathes air is a miracle. What God created, He created good and not evil. What He creates for a purpose way beyond than anything we can imagine. 6 years ago, but almost 7 years ago, a couple was given the grace to give birth to a beautiful baby. But during the pregnancy, the mother went through a lot of experiences in carrying the baby. She had been told by doctors that he would be born defective with all kind of birth diseases and issues, that he might not make it. They gave them all kind of excuses as to why they needed to abort the baby, because the baby would be born dead, all kind of things. Just imagine hearing that, a pregnant mother. And when they shared the story with the family simply gathered around them and kept them uplifted and prayed them through those times. And slowly but surely, every time she would go back to the doctor, she would hear good news and not bad news. Then the day came when their little miracle was born. And he was born with 2 toes and 10 fingers. You know, the doctors thought he was going to be a martyrdom baby, you know, and he ended up being a truly, truly a miracle of God to this loving couple. And I can only imagine, and I've seen for myself how this couple drew together in fellowship one with another and stood in faith believing for the impossible to happen, and their prayers was answered. Not only that, family relationship was in store because of the issues that they was dealing with at that time, and many family members undergird them in prayer and kept them lifted up and kept strengthening them, that no matter what the doctors say, they was able to stand in faith for the impossible.
Hallelujah.
And he was born. He didn't have an encephalitis head, which is a big head, water on their head. He was born with all, like I said, with all his toes and fingers. Everything was right. And then the doctors brought the news that he had renal dysplasia. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but it's a disease of the kidney, and his kidneys was not fully developed. And so the doctors began to prepare the family for one day that the son would have to have a kidney transplant, and he was on medication. They had to be faithful in that medication. And at the same, and given that medication, but at the same time, they did not stop trusting God for healing their son, because they knew the miracle that he's given them. Every day they watched their son go through the pain and agony of being taken care of by medicine. And the son was always full of joy. There was such a peace upon him that it made their faith grow, because he showed them how to walk with God, even as a young babe. And he continued to show them how to do that. 3 years ago, he was blessed to have a cousin who at the time was 20 years old, gave him, he was in need of a kidney then, or he would have to go on kidney transplant. But 3 years ago, he had a cousin who was at the time about 20 years old who agreed to give him one of his kidneys. Amazing God. He had already set aside one just for him. And so they went through that process, and I can imagine the parents going through the changes themselves, that my son is giving my nephew a kidney, or the mother of the son that needs a kidney, my nephew is giving my son a kidney. And they draw the family closer and closer together in one accord, in one mindset. And each of them was began to be undergirding one another, because they understood the danger. They understood what could happen, but God.
But
God came through and still again. Today, this six-year-old is still running around happy and joyful and full of life and still spreading. He, unbeknownst to him what he's doing, or maybe he does know, but it doesn't matter. Unbeknownst to him, the faith in need to trust God. Out of the mouth of babes, he says amazing things. And his is such a one of such faith, complete faith and trust, not only in his parents, but only in God. Because even when he is tested, he said, "My mama be okay. Mama's gonna be fine. Dad, I'm okay." He just go through it, knowing that he's going to meet it on the other side. I share this story with you because tonight I have the Lord put in my heart, and what do you see? What do you see when you see when you have trials and tribulations and circumstances that you are faced with that you can't even begin to imagine how you can get out of it? Like this young boy who stood in the gap and gave his family faith to believe God for the impossible, who himself, even at the age of 6 years old, still trusts in a God he cannot see. All he knows is that provision has been made for him. Life have a way of challenging us in ways we can't begin to imagine. No matter how we dress up on the outside, no matter what our persona is, we may portray ourselves as to be a wannabe without really fully walking in the knowledge of the things that we desire. But our trials and our challenges and our situation have a way of exposing who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that the parents went through and while they was carrying their son, their true nature came forth. Their trust in God was exhibited. Their faith was increased. They were strengthened in the spirit. The true nature of who they are was tested under fire. And they were truly walking the reward of that test and that challenge. So it was with Job. If you many of you remember who Job is in the Bible, Job was considered a perfect man, an upright man, one who feared God and eschewed evil. And eschewed means he deliberately avoided evil. He deliberately abstained from evil. He didn't want to have nothing to do with evil. But he was a man who was highly blessed and favored by God. And yet Satan asked for him. As you recall in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. I want you to imagine for a moment being in a conversation. Imagine for a moment how Satan observed Job's life, how he sit back and watch how he was blessed and highly favored, how Job would challenge Job by looking at the opportunities that he could find a way in to his life just to devour him. The enemy has a way of doing that same thing with each of us. He watches and observes our demeanor and our manner every day to see where there's a weak spot in us. In verse 5, it says that Job would always go about sanctifying his children and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them. And in their days of feasting, festivities, just in case one of them would have an inclination to sin or curse God in their heart. Hallelujah. I'm using this passage only for the purpose of showing that one of the ways that the enemy can come in and seek an opportunity to destroy a person of God. In John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he has come to give us life, and that life that we might have it more abundantly. So what does the thief come for? Well, in contemplating this scripture, a couple of things came to mind. He comes to steal our joy, because you know, if he steal our joy, he got our peace. That's why it's so important as the fruit of the Spirit that love, joy, and peace come together, because when you know how to love, you're filled with joy. If you're filled with joy, peace comes. Jesus said in the Word that the peace I give you, no one can give you. The world can give it to you, and the world can take it away. But if our joy is taken away from us, if we allow our joy to be taken by the adversities and the challenges and the attacks that come in our life, then it's easy for the enemy to come in and kill our peace. And when he does that, when our peace is taken away, when our joy is taken away, there's an opportunity for the enemy to come in and try to destroy our life. But Jesus said if we could just hold on to our joy, just hold on to our peace, that he would continue to come in and give us that life that we need to carry us and help us run our race that's before us. In Job verses 8 through 12, there's a conversation going on between God and Satan. As I mentioned earlier, Satan began observing Job to see where he could find a way in, an opportunity to devour him. Satan asked God for Job. And God said in verse 12, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power, all upon himself. Put not forth thy hand." And Satan went forth from the presence of God. Now, he did that in a day where the Son of God met with him, and he presented himself just to ask him for Job. Most of us know or have read the story of Job, and if you have not, I encourage you to do so, because in the end, Satan was a defeated foe, and Job was victorious because he knew the God he served. What was stored in him, in the inner part of Job, carried him through the challenges he faced, and he was even restored double for everything he was lost. I pray that none of us go through such a tragic challenge as Job did, and even a rewarding one at the end. But no matter what trials or tribulation we go through, God is still in the midst. So I ask you today, what do you see in the trials and challenges you are faced with? What is your focus when Satan acts for you? In Luke 22:31-32, we are privy to another conversation. This time it's between Jesus and Simon Peter. Jesus has just spoken to the disciples about who is the greatest among them. And he turns attention to Simon and says, "Simon, Simon, behold," that's a word that's used again. "Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that the faith fail you not. And it was so amazing because during this couple's trial and challenge with their young son, their faith didn't fail them. They may have fallen short in some areas, but somehow they girt their loins and their faith stood strong. An encouragement to so many people around them, just like their own son encouraged them, they were able to encourage others. Because they were truly, truly an example of God's grace through trying times. And Jesus continued and said, "And when thou hast been converted, change, turn around and strengthen your brother."
My God.
Now behold is such an awesome word. And in this instance, it signifies that Jesus was telling Peter, pay attention. But you know what was so amazing? God was telling Satan, pay attention to Job. Behold, pay attention. I need you to do this. Because even though you are testing him, he's still overcome. And God is saying us that to the same thing to us today, that no matter what trials we go through, no matter what challenges we face, behold.
Behold.
What are you looking at? What do you see? I need you to pay attention. I need you to focus. I'm so excited by this conversation that Jesus had with Simon because Jesus became several times at that moment. Jesus was present. Jesus encouraged him. Jesus let him know that he was praying for him. And Jesus empowered him in the midst of what he was about to go through. And you notice that when Jesus talked to Simon, he didn't talk to Simon in the midst of the situation. He talked to Simon before he entered into it. What an amazing God we serve. Because when we listen to God, he prepares us for the challenge and the trials we're about to go through. And he let us know that he's present with us. He let us know that he's encouraging us through it, even before we enter into it. And he explains that our faith would not fail us in the midst of it. And he empowered us to change so that we would be able to empower others. So in spite of whatever Satan wants to do, Jesus is ever present, ever empowering. And in this conversation, he let us know that no matter what, his presence is in our situation. He encourages in the midst. I'm repeating that again. I'm sorry. In the name of Jesus. But when it comes to empowerment, he empowers to believe in him. Believe in his promises. He empowers to stand strong no matter what. Because if you go back to Ephesians 6 and 10, verses 10, 13 through 14, it says, "I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and having done all to stand in the midst of the situation and the circumstance that we are facing." Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it wasn't the challenge that this young couple had with his son. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our sickness. Maybe it's his death in the family. Whatever that challenge is, Jesus is telling us he's there. He's empowering us to believe in what he said. And he's giving us the encouragement to know no matter what you go through, I am ever present with you. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He empowers us to step out in faith. Because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways." When we acknowledge him, he orders our steps and he directs our path. I mean, if we lean our personality upon him, when we listen to every word that flows from his mouth, he will direct us with a whisper. You don't have to scream. He could look at us and say, "I need you to turn right. I need you to say this. I need you to go forward. I need you to stop right here and be still." You know, whatever it is, that word in Proverbs says, when we acknowledge his presence in our life, in the midst of our situation, we will overcome because it is him who's going to tell us where we need to turn off at, where we need to stop at, what we need to go forward at, what we need to say, how we need to stand. I thank God for that word. Not only that, he empowers us to be comforted, to strengthen others as we have overcome by faith. According to 1 Corinthians 1 and 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. Again, I ask you this question. What do you see?
What do you see? Oh, glory. Hey!
Hallelujah. How are we looking at the challenges we face day by day? in both instances with Job as well as with Peter, the word behold was not used ordinarily. It's a Greek word meaning don't miss this. Take note. Observe. Pay attention. What did Jesus see? Jesus and Job, what did Jesus see? I'm sorry. What did God see? And Job, in the Job experience, he discovered that God was always with him when he was, when his friends were not. His friends always spoke against what he may have did wrong. He could have, should have, would have done if they were in his position. He discovered the faithfulness of God in his life. He learned that his relation with God was truly solid and that God was indeed his foundation. He discovered everything he needed was already on the inside of him because God was with him. He discovered a God who never left him, never forsake him. He discovered a God that stood by him, even in the most worst of situations, because at the end, he ended up praying for his friends, and his friends needed it.
Yes.
As for Peter, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter." In Greek, that means Petro, a large rock, like the Rock of Gibraltar. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Well, thanks to God, we are the church. We are the rock that Jesus talked about in Peter, and called Peter before. And as the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. That young couple may not understood what they were standing up against, but they understood a God who loved them, who saw them through, who prepared a way for them to be more than overcomers in a dire situation. And right now they are witnesses of what God can do when we have faith to believe. What a promise, a vision of faith Jesus had for Peter. Jesus disclosed to Peter, as most of us do. I can imagine Peter's chest bulging out when he said, "Peter, you're the rock, which I will build my church." Can you imagine God say, "You're my jewel, you're my shining star"? And he's telling you how precious you are in his sight, how our chest hangs out. Because Jesus noticed us and said that we were special to him, that we are special to him. We are his beloved. We are the one that put a smile on his face. I'm not just talking to any particular person. I'm talking about every child of God. When we do the things that God calls us to do, when we answer him, when we pray, when we lift up others, we are doing things that are pleasing to him. And I can see the smile on his face when he looks at us, and he empowers us to do the things he called us to do. Our chest would just bulge out. "My daddy proud of me. My daddy liked me. My daddy loved me some, Diane. My daddy loved me some, whatever your name is." Because you do the thing that pleases him. But when the trials come and when the challenges come, we begin to wonder, "Okay, God, what is this? Okay, God, I thought you loved me. Can you at least like me right now?" No? Hallelujah, Jesus. But those trials not to come to destroy us, but to strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory.
Jesus saw the glorious end of the promise that Jesus was unfolding in his life. And as he received the word Jesus spoke, He did not consider the cost to get there. Just like many of us, you know, when Jesus gives us a promise, we grab hold of that promise or the vision of things years ago. We grab hold of that vision, you know. But we don't know what it's going to cost us to get there. Just like the Israelites, they were so happy and so joyous they were finally getting out of Egypt. But on their way, they discovered they did not know the cost of getting out of Egypt. They did not understand the importance of what they had to go through to enjoy the promised land that God had promised Abraham so long ago. And the challenges that we face and the trials we go through, we don't see the promise. What are you looking at? What do you see? As Peter took a step of faith toward the destiny revealed to him, he began to encounter roadblocks to his destiny, obstacles to the promises, Chance became so overwhelming that he denied Jesus three times. And yet, God still used him. How often do we receive the vision and purposes of God in our lives, and we are so eager to say, yes, God. And when we begin our walk, we walk toward our destiny and discover the same roadblocks, obstacles, and challenges that we ourselves must face. We all know the story of Peter. And he truly became the rock of faith that Jesus' church was built on, in spite of the challenges that he faced day by day. He truly began to stand on the word that God has, because the vision that was given to him did go forth, because he never gave up on God. Even though he fell short in sin, he still somehow knew within him God had a purpose for him. Everything we go through serves God's plan in our life. He's always at work in our lives to strengthen and to develop who we really are in him. It has nothing to do with what's going on the outside. It has everything to do with what's going on the inside, in our spirit man. So in the crucible of life, every challenge we face are not meant to destroy us. But like Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life, and give that life to you more abundantly, an overflowing measure. We all are ready to walk that walk just for that. So are we willing to go through the challenges and the obstacles that we must face? Therefore, in every valley experience, Jesus is there. In Psalm 68:19, in the Amplified, it says, blessed be the Lord God who bears my burdens and carries me day by day. Even the God who is my salvation, Selah. How do you think about that?
Shalom.
Every situation that is we face with on a daily basis, Jesus is there to carry our burdens.
Yes.
And you know what? He carries us in the midst of those things. He doesn't leave us often. He already knows the challenges we're going to face. He already know the roadblocks that's going to come our way. He already made provision for us to overcome those things when we trust in him. Hebrews 13:5-8 says, he did not abandon us to ourselves. And the New American Standard Version says, and verse 5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For the Jesus himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So you can confidently say, the Lord God is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So when man comes to you and say you can't have, we go on our knees and we say, Father, you know my challenge. You know what this man said. I know you have already made provision for this. So if it's in your will, Lord God, I am trusting you to make a way. In the name of Jesus. Paul continues to say in this scripture, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Now, you know, that's a powerful word if you really think about it. Because when I really looked at it, it said, who spoke the word of God? Not doctrine, not what Buddha said, not what Hare Krishna said, not what your next door neighbor said, not what your big sister, little sister said, not what your pastor said, not what your brother said. It said, who spoke the word of God. It takes us out of the picture, but it gives the word of God precedence over our situation. And because the word of God is so important, then we are able to look at the ones that spoke that word, because we know it's not about them, and they know it's not about them. And we could imitate the same faith they have. We could walk in it. Remember the four friends who carried the man that was laying on the bed, dropped him down in the roof so that he could be healed by Jesus. Amen. And he walked out, and it was done on the Sabbath. And he walked out of that place. It wasn't just on the faith of the man. It was also on the faith of the friends that believed God enough that they bring him before Jesus, that he would be set free and delivered. Amen. Think about this couple. They believed God strong enough that they had the miracle they was receiving him for. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
What a word from God.
Mm.
What encouragement. Not just in a word or form of doctrine, but a word of God. When God's word is spoken, it's not returned to him void or empty. It does not return him of any effect, but it accomplished the very things that it was set out to do. And it is not a, it is a thing. It's a word. The word. The word that goes forth and accomplishes what it is set out to do in the name of Jesus. We find that scripture in Isaiah 55:11. What do you see in the midst of your trial? In the midst of your challenge? What do you see?
Mama.
Do you see your challenges? Are you looking at that trial? Well, I want you to know what I see. I see a God who is faithful even when I am faithless. I see a God who's always with me and will never leave me nor forsake me. Psalm 23 says, I see a God, I see Jesus, who holds my hand in the midst of darkness. When I can't understand, I see my way clear. I see a God who promises are yes and amen to me. I see a God who fights my battle, who goes before me as Jehovah Gabor, as Jehovah Nisi. So the battle on me is his love. I see a God who tells me to stand still and wait on him, to get in position, because I will be victorious. I see a Jesus seated at the right hand of God with all his enemies under his feet. And because I am hidden in him, those same enemies of his are enemies of mine, and they are defeated. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes me and you to triumph in Christ Jesus and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by in every place. The Amplified says that through us spreads and make ever the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are a sweet fragrance of Christ, which excels unto God. If you think about it, fragrance always, whether it's sweet or whether it's odorous, that fragrance goes somewhere. So a sweet fragrance of grace, that it goes up to the nostril of God, that it means that he is pleased with us because it's sweet unto him. It's a memorial unto him that as children of the Most High, that we are able to take the knowledge of who he is and overcome every challenge and situation. Hallelujah, Jesus. And this fragrance is among those who are being saved as well as among those who are perishing. We are called to see that. We are called to be victorious. We are called to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We are called to overcome the world, even our faith. We are more than conquerors. These are only a few things. I could keep going on and on and on with what the word says, how we become a sweet fragrance of his grace. But at the end of it all, it's not what we see. It's not what I see that would make a difference or that would position you to be triumphant. It's what you see. What you see when you're looking at that trial. What you see that you got more money than finances. What do you see when your baby is laying sick in the bed? What you see when you laying sick in the bed? What you see when you've been axed or you've been kicked out your home or you lose your car or your friends betray you? What are you looking at? What do you see?
My. Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to one scripture, and that's in Luke 6.
47. Luke 47.
My. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm looking, I'm sorry, it's taking me a little while, but I'm almost there.
Take your time. Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to go with the Amplified Bible. And in the word, in this word, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the tree and its fruit before this passage. And in this passage, he began to talk about the foundation that we're building on. When you think about the trials and the situations that you're going through, and how good it is to be loved by God. And, you know, the Lord said in his word, he makes us a delightful land before him. That he gives us every desires of our heart, knowing and understanding that every desire we have is his desires. That when we trust in him, we should eat the fruit of the land. When we commit our life to him, he will see to it that everything we need is being met. When we rest in him and fret not, that we will overcome many, many things. God, there are many promises of God in the word concerning everything that we need. In this passage, as the Lord was talking to his disciples, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Do not practice what I tell you. For everyone who comes to me and listens to my word in order to heed their teachings and does them, I will show you what he is like." It's so amazing. He said, "Why do you call me Lord? And you don't even do what I tell you to do. You don't even do what I ask you to do. You continue to try to do it your way, expecting different results." He said, "Everyone who listens to me, listens to my words, and does them, is like this. He's like a man building a house. Who dug and went down deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And when the flood arose and the torrent broke," that means heavy rains, hurricane force winds, tornadoes that could lift a house up off the ground and place it somewhere else, "against that house, it could not shake it nor move it because it had been built securely and found it on a rock. Ah, but he who merely hears the word and does not practice, does not do what I say. Doing my words is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. It's like building your house on sand. Just think about it. Against which the heavy rains come, those hurricane force wind came to tear them apart in the name of Jesus. And immediately it collapsed and fell, and the breaking and the ruin of the house was great. Which one are you? Are you the house, or do you have a life that's built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his word? Do you practice what he tells you in his word? Did you apply those things in your everyday life? Again, I ask you, what do you see when challenges come? When trials, you're faced with trials that you cannot see your way past. When obstacles and robots come and say, you can't have. What do you see when it comes to sift you as wheat? What do you see? In the name of Jesus.
My God.
Hallelujah, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your word.
Thank you,
Lord, for your word, that we are a people, a faith people, who has built our house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, that we have believed your word for us, oh Lord God. We desire your ways, oh Lord, because there is no other God but you. Peter said, "Lord, where can we go? You have the word of life." In the name of Jesus. When all the chips are down, when there is no one there, can we say like Job, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him"? In the name of Jesus. Can we do like, "Yes, I failed him, but I still trust him"? Can we do like Paul, "Yes, I killed so many people, I murdered so many, but yet I trust him"? Think about just what you face day by day. I know the challenges I face. Every day I wake up to new challenges. But every day I wake up to new mercies, new compassion. They're new every day. God gives them to me every day, that I'll open my eyes and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day to overcome. Thank you, Jesus, for another moment of faith. Thank you, Jesus, that I could trust you one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That I overcome, Lord God. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror, Lord God.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You that you are always with me and you will never forsake me. Thank you, Lord. There is a praise within me that glorifies
you.
A sweet fragrance of grace unto him. And the thank you in my worship, in my praise.
That's hallelujah. Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're worthy of our praise this afternoon. You're worthy of our honor, Lord God. We just worship you right now in the name of Jesus, that in spite of our trials, that in spite of our situations, that in spite of the roadblocks that come to stop us, Lord God, that we will not lose sight of who you are. What we see, Lord, is you standing in the gap for us. You being our high priest praying for us, interceding on our behalf, that we may not, that our faith will not fail on us, Lord God. I thank you that you pray for us as much as we pray, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, our high priest, that you cover us and that you keep us in the midst of the trials, that we're not let go, Lord God. If we just touch the hem of your garment and keep on saying in our spirit, we will overcome. This too will pass. These are just light afflictions, Lord God. But we will overcome because your word says this is the faith that overcomes the world, our faith. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the cross, Lord. We thank you for the blood that redeemed us from every curse of the law, that redeemed us from the pits of hell, that redeemed us from every sin nature, for our sin nature that has been set before us. We thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you that we have become imitators of Christ, Lord God, followers of his gospel, spreading the good news that he has shared with us, that our spirit is growing progressively day by day, that we are seeking and seeking your face so that we may be called deep unto deep, be forever changed and pushed forward into the things of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Father God, that our spirit is progressively growing stronger and every challenge and every situation, to the point where it would have no effect. I imagine in my heart, in my spirit mind, that I am a man, not gender, but a man, standing tall and strong in the things of God. That all the debris may be around, but none of it has any effect, because my faith does not lie in the circumstances that I'm walking through, but in the God who loves me, and the Jesus who saved me, and the Holy Spirit who teaches me how to apply the word of God in my life in every circumstance. Lord, I thank you that every weapon that the enemy has formed will not prosper in my life, Lord God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me how to use the weapons that are available to me in the name of Jesus, that I will overcome every challenge, every roadblock will be broken down in the name of Jesus. We're no longer holding bound to the things of this world. Continue to press my way forward to the higher goal of God in my life. I thank you, Lord God, not only for me, but for all the saints, God, who is trusting you for every situation that I'm facing. So today, saints, I ask you, what do you see?
What do you see?
Do you see a God delivered? Or do you see your circumstances? Be blessed today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Stay on the air. Stay on the air. Father, tonight we just thank you for the word. Now you move up from teaching to praise. And we just thank you for what you've done tonight. And the word, how you moved upon the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We love you. And we adore you. We magnify your name. What do we see? I see a man named Willie James Hunter, moving forward by faith, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of the faith. And Father, there are times when we all come to a point where it looks like it just don't look, but we just keep pressing in. We just take your word, because we know you are faithful, God. We know you are faithful, God. All faith belongs to you. And you said by faith, Nothing's impossible. I want to thank you, Nate. I want to thank you, Nate. Father, we got a line full of people on tonight. I pray that they got a word, heard the word tonight, and they will be a part of what's going on. Father, for we believe this night in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the anointing fall upon the radio station throughout the whole round world. Let it flow, 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 let it flow. Let the anointing that breaks every yoke, let it break every yoke. And let all of us hear what the word, what you spoke out of us tonight. Let the word we heard speak out of us, spirit, come to us tonight. Manifest the fullness of the word. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I say thank you. From the rising of the sun to the setting of it, you're still God. When it didn't look like we were going to cross over, we made another day. We just said, thank you, Father. And then, Father, we know that all things that we see in this earth realm, because we look for the things that you have put, Father, and we are your people. We are your people, and we declare and decree, no God like our God, but you're the only true and living God. And for this, we said, thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Holy Name. Thank you, Holy Name. Oh, yeah, Father, you said the faithful saying the word to be acceptable. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your name, Father. And Father, we just believe that the Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul said, who Jesus Christ has saved all sin. Paul said he was the chief one. And Father, we just fall in the same line. Because all sin has been forgiven. We live in that place called there. There you make us. There you show us. There you teach us, Father. Oh, praise your holy name. We want to be faithful. We just want to take your word. Take your word and live by your word. And let your word overpower us. Teach us to love one another. Teach us to not put up and don't put down each other. Teach us to see each other. See the same situation. Some of them in the same. Some didn't have no money. Some didn't have no job. Some didn't have nothing. But he was still right there for us. And Father, as she said about Job, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Hallelujah. I think, Father, I thank you, Father. And you said to him when he asked, when he said, where were you when I created the Pleiades? Hallelujah. Job wasn't there. Where were you when I created the big mouth? Wasn't there. Where were you when I created the world? Father, we just take you at your word. Your word has so much power. Your word has so much anointing. All we can say is hallelujah and praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just praise you tonight. I thank you. And then, Father, we look in the earth realm on this side of the mountain while we see the enemy still causing everybody this problem, that problem. But, Father, we walk by, we snatch as many as we can out that they may come to the light of truth. We're declaring and decreeing. We are the church, the living church that live within us. Hallelujah. And I praise you and I love you. We just go to a building where we come together that we might assemble ourselves before you, Father. And, Father, we want to say thank you. Hallelujah. And, Father, somebody on this line, I know you're touching, say something, got a prayer. Father, touch them. Touch them tonight in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I want to thank you for answering my prayer. I want to thank you that my cousin Napoleon, who had opened our surgery, where his heart was all stopped up, 99%, but I know he's healed right now. He's healed. I believe it. I say it, and I accept it. I thank you that my brother, who's spending 15 years in prison, they cut it down to 4. He's at home now, Father, because the prayers of the righteous. He's come to a point. Hallelujah, said he know what God did, why he put him behind the prison. He can understand it now, and I want to thank you, Father, not only him, but many others that are out there, Father, were here, and come to know. There's no love like God's love through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I open the lines up to anyone got something to say. The lines open. The lines open. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. You got a prayer to pray, pray. You got a conversation, let's have a conversation. You got a testimony, have a testimony. You got a word from the Lord, let it be said. You want to call upon the name of Jesus, let it be said. Hallelujah. There's no God like our God. Oh, hallelujah. And the word became fire, shut up in my bones. Shut up in my bones. It's like fire. It's like fire. I can't help myself. It's like fire. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory. Yes, Lord. Praise Him. Hallelujah. The line's open. My God, my God. Got a prayer? Go ahead and start praying. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Praise the holy name. Let the anointing, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. The radio station upon it. Let the fire rest upon them, Father. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Fire. Let there be healing being told about. Let there be healing. When she talked about that young man who would leave when they told her the baby wasn't going to be born. But God, you can still do anything. You can do anything you want to do because you are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Ah, I love you tonight. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes. Woo, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Jesus. The lines on KASK radio station are now open for all across the world. Got something to say. You got a prayer. You got a prayer request. You got a word from the Lord. The only thing I ask you to do, be positive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to say to Donna, God bless you. Your word had power. God used it tonight like never before. I have watched God bring the fire in your belly tonight. The belly began to rumble out. Like Jesus said, out of your stomach shall flow living waters. And the fire came up with it. And those who on the line could see it and hear it. I want to just say, I'm not giving you the glory. I just want to thank the Lord for using you, that we all were able to glorify God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God. The devil got his head whipped tonight. He got a good whipping tonight. Oh, you got a good one. But we know you're going to come back. We got on the faithful armor. We got it on. We got it on. We got it on. And we're going to press in. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Anybody got an announcement want to make before we go out there? Anybody? Have a statement. Well, I praise God for tonight. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you once again, sister, for your obedience and for what God has done for you tonight. I tell you, I sit in, I began to put some stuff down, and what did I put it all down? I don't even know where I put my notes at. I done got so fired up, I done forgot. I just thank the Lord for what the Lord used. He used the radio tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to encourage everyone that's going through something right now, no matter what it is that we put aside our perspectives and look at it from God's perspective. Because He uses everything. Doesn't matter what we go through, doesn't matter what trial we face, what challenges we are experiencing. He uses everything to bring about the glory that is moving in and through our lives, that He may be glorified.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage everyone to know that God is who he said he is to you. He's the lover of your soul. He's your shepherd that watches over you. He's your bishop that takes care of you. He's your kinsman redeemer that covered you. He died for you. And he builds you up. And he holds you close. And he never lets you go.
Ooh, Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God help us. Oh, I want to thank you tonight. So then, we just give God the glory and we just go out and say these words. Father, go ahead and close it out tonight, my beloved sister.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that somebody's heart was changed tonight. Somebody's heart was open to receive your engrafted word. Lord God, I thank you that someone come to the place of understanding, Lord. It's putting the word to work for their life in the midst of their circumstances. That what they see is so much more important than what they feel. And that, Father, I ask that you continue to encourage and to empower the saints of God to know that you are always available, that you are always there, that whatever they ask in the name of Jesus, they can be given to them when they ask in his name and believe that he's doing it. Not just believe in the work that he does, but to believe in him, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the love of God that's been shed abroad in each of our hearts, that we may be set free from what we see to what you are doing. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise. Lord, I thank you that if we close our eyes tonight to rest, some of us may not wake up, but then we'll be with you. But those of us who do, we'll wake up with such a praise on our heart, such a thanksgiving in our spirit, that we glorify you just in our speech, O Lord God, and that day will be declared better, and we can overcome in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your compassions are new every morning. I thank you, Lord God, that your love is always with us, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the hearts of your people, how we're growing up a little bit higher, Lord God, that we're pressing our way through every circumstance in the name of Jesus. And along the way, oh Lord, you're holding our hands because your name is also Emmanuel. God is with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Remember, I will see you on the other side. The Lord say the same until such time. Be blessed.